When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view His blessed face, and the luster of His kindly beaming eye. How my full heart will praise Him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. Through the gates to that city in a robe of spotless white, He will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages I shall mingle with delight, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand.
One or the other. It all happens between the chair and the pulpit. I guess it's the motion of getting up. What I was going to say is, when we get to heaven, you know, we're not going to have to look and try to find out who Jesus is. When we get to heaven, there's going to be no question. No question whatsoever. He'll stand out above all the prophets. He'll stand out above all the other saints of God that are there. And we get to heaven, and listen, we'll know Him. We'll know Him. And not going to be a problem with that. God bless you for being here. I don't know about you. I've been excited about this day for a couple of weeks now. It's our church's 38th anniversary. So what's so big about an anniversary, preacher? Well, first of all, if this church didn't exist, there's a possibility I may not even be saved today. And so I'm happy, I'm excited that we're celebrating the anniversary. I'm excited that some 38 years ago that 43 people decided to pull a group of people together and start the beginnings of Trinity Baptist Church. Somebody had the foresight, somebody had took the initiative to begin a work here in Arlington called the Trinity Baptist Church. Tonight, you'll get to meet some of those folks that were in the beginning stages of the church. I hope that you're excited about being in church today. Take your Bible, Genesis chapter 2, if you would, please. Genesis chapter number 2. We're going to read just probably two or three verses out of Genesis 2, beginning in verse number 15. Genesis 2. And begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 15. Let's stand together, please, out of love and respect for the Word of God. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 15. The Scripture says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, verse 17 is a common preaching verse, but I don't want to focus on that verse. I want to go back and look at verse number 15 at a word that God put in the Scriptures. He said, and the Lord God took the man, and here's the word I want you to look at, put. He put. He set him. He placed him. The Scripture says, into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. God created a perfect environment. He created perfect circumstances for Adam. Once He created him, God didn't just say, well, there's a garden out there somewhere that you need to go find, that I've created this perfect environment. Once you find it, it's going to be heaven on earth. No, once He created it, God didn't make him go find it. He put him in those circumstances. He put him in the garden. And I want to take that little word, put, and I want to speak to you tonight, or this morning, on this subject, circumstanced. You say, is that a word? Go look it up. It's a word. Circumstanced. Father, bless our time together this morning. We look forward to what you're going to do in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, circumstance is the scapegoat for a lot of people for improper action, sin, and bad decisions today. You see, everyone seems to be a victim of circumstances. And may I say to you today that I visited a lot of prisons, and they're full of people that are victims of their circumstances. By the way, they'll tell you they're victims of their circumstances. The public detention schools in the city of Arlington are full today. You know why? Because kids think they're victims of their circumstances. Counseling centers all over America are full today. You know why? Because people are victims of their circumstances. And may I say also, the pastor's offices are full today. You know what one of the common themes and subjects that I hear today? Well, preacher, it's just the circumstances that I'm faced with. It's my circumstances that make me what I am today. I'm the way I am because of circumstances. I am where I am today because of circumstances. I think the way I think today, preacher, because of circumstances. Oh, by the way, I do what I do today too, preacher, because my circumstances make me do it. You see, circumstance becomes a scapegoat for our wrongdoing. You see, their home conditions or family or poverty or riches are what's to blame for the way they are. Nobody wants to take personal responsibility. You see, their excuse is, well, you don't understand, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I wasn't exposed to good circumstances like everybody else was. Like they're the only ones that are put in negative circumstances. I wasn't raised up in a place where I could flourish. Well, let me ask you this. Was Cain put in a situation where he could flourish? One but four people. Right? Sounds to me like that was a pretty good situation. But you know, according to Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 8, even in his circumstances, which seemed to be ideal circumstances, he still rose up and murdered his brother and became a vagabond. Don't tell me the circumstances make you do and be the way that you are. Cain was in an ideal circumstance. May I say to you in 2 Kings chapter 11, you'll read about Solomon. Solomon had all the money you need. Sounds like a pretty good circumstance, doesn't it? He had all the money you need. He had all the possessions you need. He said, boy, you know what? If I just had a little more money, boy, no telling what I'd do for God. Probably the reason we don't have a little more. Because he knows what you'd do for God. Most of us, nothing. And yet Solomon seemed to be in an ideal situation. But you know what that situation seemed to lead him to? He married 700 wives and 300 concubines that all turned his heart away from God. And all of a sudden now, he's not worshiping the God Jehovah. He's now worshiping false gods. So see, all the money and possessions, just your circumstances doesn't mean that everything is all right. Solomon should have turned out okay, shouldn't he? If the circumstances dictated it. Cain should have turned out all right if the circumstances dictated it. Can I take your mind now to Acts chapter 5? Not too long after Pentecost, one of the greatest revivals recorded in all the Bible. Man, people are being saved. People have been baptized. Man, I'm telling you, you couldn't be in a better situation than Ananias and Sapphira was in. Man, revival was taking place. People getting saved. People shouting. Man, the circumstances just seemed great, didn't they? Man, people were selling all that they had, laying at the apostles' feet. But man, the circumstances were wonderful. Revival, people saved. Except they took some of their portion and stole from God. And not only did they steal it, then they lied against the Holy Ghost of God. You say, well, what happened to them? God killed them. Their circumstances seemed pretty good. Just like Solomon's circumstances seemed pretty good. Just like Cain's circumstances seemed pretty good. You see, there's been multiple people in Scripture that grew up in great circumstances yet went bad. If you don't believe it, go read Luke 15. Jesus gives us the story of the prodigal son. He gave a perfect circumstance. His dad had money. His dad had possessions. His dad provided for him. And yet one day he goes to his father and says, give me all that is mine. Seemed like a good circumstance, didn't it? Had parents that loved him. Had a home that seemingly was a good home. But you know, there are a lot of people that have great circumstances turn out bad. The prodigal son is very evident of it. But may I say, there are also others who faced terrible circumstances and yet still chose right. You see, Joseph, terrible circumstances. I mean, not for one day or one week. I'm talking about for years. Years. Terrible circumstances. But you know what? Chose to do right, didn't he? Yeah, he chose to do right even in terrible circumstances. How about Daniel? Daniel kind of faced terrible circumstances. The decree had gone forth. Anybody that prays to any other god except the God of the pagans will be thrown into a den of lions. So you know what Daniel does? Daniel doesn't go hide. When it comes time for his time of prayer again, he opens the windows so that people will know that he's praying to the same God he's always prayed to, and that's Jehovah. You know where it got him? Got him thrown in the den of lions. But did God prove himself gracious? Yeah. But you know what? His circumstances, rough circumstances, but he still chose right. Same thing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Did they not choose right? It's bow the knee to my God, Nebuchadnezzar said, or I'll throw you in the fiery furnace. Fine. I'm still not bowing. Well, I'll throw you in the fiery furnace. You'll burn up like a French fry. Now, that's not in the Bible. But that's basically what he was going to do. They said, you know what? Our God is able, but if not, toss us in anyway. You see, the thing about it is, don't point to always your circumstances. You see, there are people that are faced with circumstances, good and bad. And let me make a note right here before I go on any further. Can I say to you, I realize that Satan can move in an evil way to bring about hurtful and hateful circumstances into your life like he did Job. Go read it. You know who brought those circumstances in Job's life? The devil did. You know what happened when he lost all of his kids? The devil was behind that. You know why he lost all of his possessions? The devil was behind that. You know why he lost his health? The devil was behind that. So I understand that Satan can bring in evil and hurtful and hateful circumstances. But may I say to you, you still have the choice. Job had a choice to either rebel against God or to choose to respond positively to God. And by the way, God is very aware of your conditions that you face every day. He's aware of your conditions. Yeah, He cares. You know it's impossible for God not to care? It's impossible for God not to care. But yet here we are today, and some of us are asking this question this morning, how in the world did I get myself into this? Some of you are sitting here this morning where circumstances surround you, that how in the world did I get myself into this? Can I stop and say this? You may not have. God may have been circumstancing you. You may have been circumstanced by God. He's putting you, He's placing you into a circumstance for a positive result. You know, I went to see what Webster, how he defined the word circumstanced. Here's what he says. He says the word circumstance is to be placed in a particular manner with regard to attending facts. Listen, did God know all the facts about the Garden of Eden? He created them all, didn't He? Where did He put Adam? Right in the middle of it. Can I say something? God already understands all the circumstances of your life. And you say, I don't know how I got in this situation. Well, you may not have gotten it. God may have put you in that circumstance. He may have placed you in that situation. Now, the facts are that God sees your heart right now. See, man looks on the outward appearance. That's the reason a lot of times we misjudge things, because all we do is look on the outward appearance. And all of a sudden what we do is we pass judgment. We're very shallow in that area because all we can see is the outside. How about getting on our knees and finding out exactly what's going on in life instead of always judging by what we see? Well, I got some tricky news for you. Do you know everything's not always as they appear to be? Do you know the devil's real good at camouflaging things to try to get you to pass an improper judgment on something, to get you in a situation that's going to hurt you? You see, the Lord looks upon the heart. So you know what? He sees my heart's condition. He knows what my mind, the condition of my mind, my spirit, and my soul is this morning. God didn't allow you to be born to be a bum. He allowed you to be born to be a banner of grace. Not a bum. You see, God wants us to be a neon sign of God's goodness, His grace, and His glory. And if we'll let Him put us in situations and circumstances to bring about this, you know what you're going to be? You're going to be a lot happier. And you're going to be a lot more mature in your Christian life. Now, there's a lot of people in the Bible that got circumstanced by God. But I can't cover all of them this morning, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to narrow it down to three, all right? Because I think these three pretty much covers the gamut of everybody that's here this morning. So take your Bible, if you would, go to John chapter number 20. Okay, go to John chapter 20. Now, this is after the resurrection of Christ. John chapter 20. And begin reading with me in verse 24, if you would. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, speaking to Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Now, he just opened himself up, didn't he? So you know what? Since he's decided what the circumstances were going to be, since he's already decided, I'm not going to believe unless this happens. God said, fine, I'll just circumstance you. Look what it says later, 8 days later. Okay, 8 days. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Ah, he's here this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas. Can I ask you this? Why did he single him out? Because he's the one that said, I'm not going to believe unless. God says, all right, I'll just create a circumstance here, and we're just going to see what you're going to decide about me. So he turns to Thomas. He says, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. Question, did it work? Did the circumstance that God took Thomas and put him in, did it accomplish what he wanted it to accomplish? Yes. Because prior to it, Thomas said, I'm not going to believe. So Jesus says, fine, then you know what? I'll circumstance you and I'll put you in a situation to where you got to make a decision about whether you're going to believe or not. So he creates the situation, puts Thomas right in the middle of it. He says, here, look at my hands.
Look at my feet. You see, God proved himself to Thomas. And let me tell you something. You know how I know it worked? Because Thomas fell down and said, "My Lord, my God." You know what the circumstance? It worked, didn't it? God's circumstance put him in a situation. He already knew what the facts were going to be. He knew what the facts were. He knew he was the Son of God. And yet, Thomas didn't believe until he actually saw. He didn't believe until he actually saw and felt the nail prints in his hands. May I say to you today, there are some here that aren't going to believe a thing that God has said in the Scriptures. You're not going to believe a thing that God has promised until you actually see it and experience. That's fine. Because you know what? God will just create a little circumstance to put you in to cause that decision to come to pass. And you will either decide positively or you will decide negatively. You see, the thing about it is, I believe there's some people here today that have been circumstanced by God. And may I say to you, God protects us from harm's way. Do you understand? God protects you and I from situations we didn't even know that existed. God performs great displays of goodness in our life using other people. God answers prayer. But wait a minute, it wasn't just Thomas that God circumstanced to settle the unbelief question. You know, when you find Matthew chapter 14, we find that Jesus sent his disciples out to the Sea of Galilee and there arose a storm. They got out right into the middle of the storm and all of a sudden they're like, "Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We could die out here." Somebody saw somebody coming to them walking on the water. Peter steps up and says, everybody was afraid because they thought it was a ghost. Then they realized when Jesus spoke that it was him, and Peter says, "Bid me come to thee." And Jesus said, "Come." Now, wait a minute now. Did Jesus already know the storm was going to be there? Then why did he send them out there then? Why did he come walking on the water to them? Who created that circumstance? God did. You know what he was trying to prove to the disciples? He was trying to help them with their unbelief. He was trying to help them. You can trust God. You can trust the Lord and His Word. Wait a minute. That wasn't the only time they were out in the storm. Listen, you can find another place in Matthew chapter 8. This time Jesus was with them in the storm. You say, "Well, what's the big problem with that?" Well, he's asleep. Storm comes, water coming about. "We're going to die. We're going to sink. Lord, don't you care that we're going to die and we're going to sink?" What's the problem, guys? Don't you understand? Look. Look at the circumstances. We're going to sink. Jesus stands up, calms the winds and the sea, and then he turns to the disciples. You know what he says to them? "O ye of little faith." Did you really think I was going to let the boat sink with the Son of God in it? You say, what is wrong with these guys? What's their problem? Same problem we got. It's called unbelief. You know why there's not revival in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and people are getting saved by the thousands and baptized by the thousands? You know what the problem is? It's called unbelief. It's unbelief. And you know what Jesus is trying to do today? He's trying to do something in your life, in my life, to help us to understand you can trust God. You know what he's doing? He's circumstancing us. Let me give you one more under this and I'll move on. Let me take you now to the Garden of Gethsemane. Did Jesus already know this was all going to happen? Yeah. He knew all about the circumstances. And you know what? Every one of those disciples were going to prove who they were. They were either going to stand with him or they weren't. So here's the Garden of Gethsemane. Here the Roman soldiers come. Here comes Judas. They arrest him. You say, but Peter fought back. Where was he just a few minutes after that, though? He's hightailing it with the rest of them. You see, the thing about it here in America today, God's giving us an opportunity to make a stand. God's giving you and I in America today, the government's gone nuts. Society's gone nuts. Some churches have gone nuts. You know what he's doing? He's creating a circumstance for us in Christendom to prove whether we're going to take a stand or not.
What he's trying to settle? Just trying to settle unbelief. You see, God's putting you and I in circumstance after circumstance to strengthen our faith day after day after day. You know what we're doing? We're not responding very well. We're not responding to the situations and circumstances that he put us in, just like he took Adam and put him into that. You know what? After a while, Adam and Eve didn't respond very well to the circumstances. So I'm going to have a little talk with them when I get to heaven. Stand in line. Because you'll be about the 10 gajillionth in line. And you know what everybody's going to, you know what everybody wants to know from them? Why? So that's what my question is going to be. Is that yours? I'm not going to have to talk long term. I just want to, why? Why did you do this to me? You were in perfect circumstances. Look what you did. May I say to you, God's put you in perfect circumstances today. You know what he's trying to do in your life? He's trying to do the same thing in your life he's trying to do in my life. He's trying to get that seed of unbelief to believe God, to trust God. Some of us, let me tell you something, folks. I'm here, I'm convinced that God's not real to some of us. He's just something out there, some spirit, some smoke, some blob out there. We can't see him. He's not real. So you know what he's going to do? He's going to put us in a circumstance. You say, what circumstance is he putting us in? Look around America's condition today. He's putting us in a circumstance. We're either going to stand or not stand. So Thomas and these others, you know what he's trying to settle? Unbelief. Let me give you the second one. Turn over just one chapter, John 21. John chapter 21. Look, if you would, in verse number 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and who's this other guy? It seems he gets circumstance all the time, isn't he? Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, what was good while it lasted, guys? But you know something? I know the fishing business is always there. So he says, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went and entered the ship, and immediately, and that night, they caught nothing. I wonder why. And when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. That's not only what happens when you quit on God. The Bible talks about you're worse off than you were before. He was out there naked and did cast himself into the sea, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And soon then, as they were come to land, they saw a fire and coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish, which ye have now caught. Look at verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Come and dine, the master calleth. Come and dine. You know what Jesus just did again? He just circumstanced them again. He just created a circumstance. Wait a minute, what's he trying to work out this time? This time it's not unbelief. This time they're away from God. They're not walking with him anymore. You know where they are? They're out in the world now. They're out fishing. They're out doing what they wanted to do. Now they were away from God. You know what Jesus could have said when he stepped up to the seashore? Hey, you stinking quitters. What are you doing out there fishing? You walked with me for years. What are you doing? I hope that boat sinks. He could have railed on them, but he didn't. You know what he said? Hey, guys, have you any meat? No. Cast on the other side. They did. You know what? Almost sunk the boat. And when they come to shore, can you imagine how they felt? Keep in mind now, they all ran away. They were all away from God. And what does he tell them to do? They get to shore and they see he's got fish on fire. You know what he tells them? Come and die. Come back! Let's fellowship again! You see, the thing about it is, I'm sure that they thought like some of us thought to think today. Well, I've gone to the Lord with this particular sin, with this particular problem, 100 times. He's not going to want to hear me 100th time. Try him. These men quit on God. They were away from God. And he tells them, come and die. You see, Jesus knew their heart, that they were away from God, yet he sought them out. Did you see that? He didn't wait for them to come. He went to them. He's the one that initiated the conversation. He's the one that set the circumstance. And then he goes on and singles Peter out. He says, lovest thou me more than these? Why did he single him out? We don't have time to go back there, but you'll find out that Peter had denied him 3 times. After the cock crew, after that 3rd time, the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. Do you think Jesus knew about that? Do you think Jesus knew that Peter felt that he had let the Lord down? So you know what Jesus did? Jesus took the initiative. You know what he did? He created a circumstance for Peter to come back. He created a circumstance for the disciples to redeem themselves from their backsliding and getting away from God. Let me tell you this morning, folks, thanks be to God that he gives you and I the opportunity to come back. Thanks be to God that he's created circumstances in your life and my life. And you know what he's saying to you this morning? If you're away from God, come and dine. Come and dine. He created that circumstance to get them back to where he needed to be. You see, maybe you're away from God in your daily devotional relationship. Maybe you're away from God and not reading the Scriptures or obeying the Word of God. Maybe you're here this morning. Some of you have turned aside on trying to win people to Christ. Your soul-winning zeal is gone. You haven't won a soul to Christ in months and some in years. You say, is God mad at me? No, you know what he wants you to do? Come and dine. The fish are on the fire. You know what he wants you to do? Come on. He said, I'll create the circumstances. And you know what I'll do? I'll put you in those circumstances so that you can make the right choice. You see, maybe some are away from God's church this morning. Maybe you don't have a place to go to church. You hadn't been a member of a church in years. You know what God's creating for you? Circumstance. Circumstance to make that choice. You see, God has circumstanced you today. He will again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. He'll put you and I in circumstances. You see, sometimes just saying it don't get the job done. Now it should. Let me prove my point. When I was a kid in school, the teacher, their number one objective is to teach, right? That's the reason they call them teacher. They're supposed to teach. But those of you that are teachers, you ever stood up in front of a class and explained something, you can look at their face and tell them they ain't getting it. I can tell they just not getting it. Like some of our faces this morning. And so you know what the teacher does? Same thing that several teachers did to me because I was kind of a daydreamer. Sometimes explaining it didn't get it for me. So you know what the teacher had to do? The teacher had to create a circumstance. And many times that circumstance was, Mr. Lassiter, would you stand up and begin reading to us? Oh, yes, I'll read. Now, where were we? That's what I thought. To the principal's office. Right? You see, sometimes a teacher has to create a circumstance. They may have you stand and read. They may have him stand and ask you a question.
Hey, they're not trying to hurt you or embarrassing you. They're trying to teach you.
You see, sometimes just God saying it ain't good enough for some. So you know what he has to do? He has to put you and I in a circumstance to help with your unbelief and to help with you getting back to God.
Can I say something to you? Just saying it ought to be enough, shouldn't it? But see, some of us, he's given us a whole Bible and he's told us what he expects of us. You know, we're not, we ain't getting it.
So you know what he has to do? He has to create an object lesson. Bet you'll learn from that. Anybody ever been in a circumstance, in a situation, man, bless God, I'll not do that again. But you know what had to happen? God had put you in a circumstance, didn't he? Let me give you the last thing. Turn to Acts chapter 9, real quick. Acts chapter 9. Thomas got circumstanced. Peter got circumstanced. I'll read you a quick passage of Scripture about a guy that really got circumstanced by God. Matter of fact, it was probably his last hurrah. Find your place, Acts chapter 9, quickly. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 1. And Paul and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughterings against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, speaking of Christians, anybody talking, witnessing, preaching about Christ, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Man, this guy's vicious, man. He's doing it all in the name of religion. You notice that? See where he got his papers from? And as he journeyed, God says, you know what? I'm going to check you out one more time. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, you know, normally the circumstances, when we get circumstanced, they're normally suddenly. Normally, they're not planned out over years of time. Normally, God says, you know what? I need you to learn something. I need you to learn it right now. Boom! And he puts you in a circumstance. Did you notice it says, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he, speaking of Saul of Tarsus, who was going in the name of religion to persecute believers, fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. You see, Saul was taught in what scriptures he had. Paul knew the law. Paul knew the prophets. But you know what? He just wasn't getting it. So you know what God said? God just decided, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kind of circumstance you, but this is probably going to be the last time I'm going to mess with you. And so God had to get him away from the city. As he drew nigh to Damascus, God appeared to him. Jesus appeared to him. And you know what the next thing? It must have been such a traumatic circumstance. Because you know the next thing that came out of his mouth? Lord, is that you? What will thou have me to do? You ever been in those kind of circumstances? Except this particular circumstance was for his soul. It was, make the decision now, my friend. It's either Jesus or hell. What's going to be your choice? You know what came out of his mouth? Lord. You see, sometimes those circumstances have to be that traumatic. And did you notice it was suddenly? Suddenly the circumstance came. Saul got of Tarsus got circumstanced by God. Saul was confronted about his soul. Saul had a choice in his circumstance. You know who he chose? Jesus. He chose Jesus. And the rest is history. You say, oh, I just don't believe, preacher. I just don't believe God would save me. Look at that old boy. I don't know how many people he was responsible for putting in prison and having killed or executed or persecuted. He's messing with the people of God. And yet, oh, let the Lord created a circumstance for him to be saved. You see, In order for him to be saved, you know what he had to acknowledge, dear friend? The same that we had to acknowledge. He had to acknowledge he was without God. And yet the good thing is, God was after him. You know why God, you know why we're saved today? Because God was after you. And you know what he created in your life? He created a circumstance. You say, what was your circumstance, preacher? Here it was. That was my circumstance. Open the door, you know who it is? These two religious fanatics. You know what they wanted? They want to know if I was saved. They want to know if you died today, you'd go to heaven. I can't believe you'd ask a person that question. You better be glad somebody asked you. You see, Jesus had to initiate the circumstance. Paul just responded to the circumstance. I'm here to tell you today, he had to get him aside. He had to get him away and acknowledge he was without God. And you know what? There's not a person that's ever been born again that didn't acknowledge first they were without God. They were hopeless in this world without Jesus Christ. My dear friend, somebody here this morning is without Christ. I got some good news for you. God circumstanced you this morning. He put you in this church service so that you can hear from the Word of God how to be saved. But you're going to have to acknowledge you're without God. You've sinned against a holy God. But you know what else you're going to have to acknowledge? You're going to have to acknowledge there's a penalty and a price to be paid. And that price is an eternity without God forever in a place the Bible very descriptively calls hell. You see, that's where Saul of Tarsus was going. He was going to hell. And I believe if he would have decided, hey, get out of my life, Jesus, Jesus would have said, okay. And I think Saul of Tarsus would have gone on and died and gone to hell. But because he got circumstanced by God, put in a situation to make that decision, he made the right decision. Now my question to you this morning is, you going to make the right decision? God's put circumstance after circumstance in your life. He's trying to get most. He's trying to get believers this morning. Just believe Him. Just trust Him. Thomas didn't, so you know what? He created a circumstance, and boy, did Thomas ever make the right. My Lord, my God, I believe. He had to circumstance old Peter. He got away from God. There's some people here this morning in unbelief. There's some people here this morning, you're away from God. He said, He wouldn't take me back. Try Him. You know what He's going to tell you? Come and dine. Come and dine. He's created a circumstance for you this morning to make that decision. And may I say that this morning some here without Jesus Christ, I got some good news. You've been circumstanced by God. He's created this meeting this morning. He's created this congregation this morning. He had me preach this morning. That message right there, you know who for? You. You. The circumstance now has been created by God. Now it just boils down to this. What you going to do about it? What decision are you going to make about your unbelief, about your condition to be away from God, and about your soul? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many this morning would say, Brother Todd, without a question, I know I've been born into the family of God. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I know it 100%.